Hacking for defense, it sounds like a cybersecurity exercise, but hacking also means forcing yourself into new ways of thinking about old problems and finding fresh ways to solve them. A class at Stanford University called Hacking for Defense looks to teach these new methods to students. For what they're learning and how it might benefit them and the DoD mission, I spoke with instructor Steve Blank. He explains how the class is set up.
There's kind of two sides to this class. One is the class right now is being taught at Stanford, though we hope to scale the program nationally. And the other is we have sponsors who bring us their problems from across the Department of Defense and intelligence communities. And they work together to solve real national security problems.
What is a typical example of the type of problem they might bring to you?
Oh, we have problems ranging from ones you would expect in cybersecurity all the way to how to help Navy SEALs geolocate underwater, figure out where they are in 3D space, how to counter adversary drones, and others you would kind of expect coming out of the Department of Defense.
These are the types of problems that they don't feel they can put into an RFQ and see what the contracting community has to say?
Oh, I think, on the contrary, I think these are problems that they have lots of RFQs out. The problem is the rationale for the class and the methodology we use is that within 10 weeks of giving us the problem, we'll give them a series of prototypes. And for the students, we actually get them to understand not how do you just build a demo, but how do you actually deploy this to the beneficiaries, stakeholder, warfighter, etc. And in a couple of cases, actually understand if the problem that they've actually stated is actually the real problem. As we found out in a couple of cases, no, it wasn't.
Well, elaborate. Give me an example.
Well, there was an example of helping foreign countries in explosive ordnance disposal tasks. In particular, once we left Iraq and Afghanistan, their EOD folks were left to dispose of roadside bombs without us. And they were getting blown up at a greater rate than when we were there. And so the first thought was, well, give them some more technology, maybe, 3D translated virtual whatever. And it turns out that wasn't the problem at all. The problem was actually one of communication on how to use equipment they already had. And it turned out to be an organizational problem and connectivity between those organizations, between the U.S. and those countries. And it turns out our sponsor kind of knew that, but they just wanted to hear it again from someone else. And actually, the message was a lot easier to deliver to their own organization when someone else could point it out to them. That was a surprise to us and to the students, but boy, did they learn a lot.
So the problem bringers are the people from the Pentagon.
Yes, and I would call them islands of innovation throughout the Department of Defense. I think that the big idea is that, we built an awesome military and intelligence community, incredibly well-suited for the threats in the 20th century. Problem in the 21st is, our current adversaries aren't using our 20th century playbook in most cases. We have little green men in Crimea. We have non-state actors like ISIS. We have problems of asymmetry in the South China Sea. And it isn't that, the DoD doesn't get it. It's just that our entire acquisition procurement system and most of what we have is focused on executing our last game plan. One of the things I helped develop and start is something called the Lean Startup Movement, which basically allows you to be incredibly agile and move with speed and urgency. And again, this is not a way to build an aircraft carrier in 10 weeks, but this is a way to kind of look at problems and build solutions and understand whether you're building the right ones in an incredibly short period of time. And it's a way to deal with innovation that better matches our 21st century threats. 50 years ago, we came up with DARPA to kind of deal with innovation at the edge of what's possible. But those programs take in the last years, and in fact, DARPA is still cutting edge and belongs in our toolkit. 15 years ago, we kind of threw Silicon Valley-style venture capital at some of innovation problems and came up with something called InQtel, which is we use the kind of a venture capital model to invest in cutting-edge technologies. And again, provides us with an incredible portfolio of technologies. But all these take years. This is how can we get some solutions for a class of problems in weeks, if not months. And I think it's possible. Again, our adversaries are using these techniques to move at speed, and I think we need some in our toolkit as well.
We're speaking with Steve Blank, consulting associate professor at Stanford University. And I take it that the students involved in this program are not nonplussed by the fact that they're dealing with organizations and solutions that might have to use violence to carry out, what the nation considers legitimate ends.
Well, you know, one of the two hypotheses that were critical to having this class is one is, could we get students who knew nothing about the DoD or intel communities to kind of sign up for something on what I would consider a university that historically, at least for the last 40 years, was disconnected from that community. And on the other hand, could we get sponsors from the DoD who would give us problems that could be scrubbed well enough to be put in an unclassified state so even foreign nationals could work with it? And so for the students, you know, one of my goals, just as an aside, was I think the country has run a 40-plus year experiment of disconnecting the civilian populace from, our military and intelligence communities, and I think the result hasn't been great for the country. And so one of my intents was to figure out how to create a 21st century version of Tech ROTC that is giving students and civilians a taste of and a connection to serving their country in some form. And so my goal is to scale this class to multiple universities. But the first test, back to your question, was would they even be interested? And you know, I've been teaching at Stanford for over a decade, and this was surprising to me, but gratifying, the biggest turnout I've ever had for a course. I think there's an untapped kind of well of wanting to support our country in places we didn't expect. And there are students, a large number of them, who want to serve the country and make it safer. And they just didn't have a vehicle to do it. You know, it's ironic. You could volunteer for the Peace Corps, AmeriCorps, or Teach for America, or even the U.S. Digital Services to build healthcare.com, but there's no formal way to, again, just shy of ROTC, or putting on a uniform to serve the country to help DOD and intel communities.
Now, your own biography shows that you were an airplane technician in Vietnam. And do some of these ideas date back to those days, that maybe there must be a better way to get at the problem here that we're trying to solve?
Well, you know, I did my service more decades ago than I could remember. Served a year and a half in Southeast Asia, but when I hung up my uniform, I didn't think much about it until I got called in by a branch of the DoD to kind of help them think through innovation at speed and how to apply some of these techniques that we use in Silicon Valley and now large companies are adopting. Could it help us generate ideas and solutions quicker? And then I also ran into Colonel Pete Newell, or retired Colonel Pete Newell, who was heading up the Army's Rapid Equipping Force, who was essentially providing this service at speed and urgency for combatants in Iraq and Afghanistan. And then also Colonel Joe Felter, who teaches at Stanford, ex-Special Forces. And we sort of talking about what they were doing now, what they did in service, and you know, what I had done with these lean startup methodologies, and realized that there was probably something we could put together to offer students. The last class I had, just as an aside, I had done, which went national. My current class at Stanford, or at least the one just before this one, which was called the Lean Launchpad, was adopted by the National Science Foundation in the U.S. to commercialize all science in this country. It's now being taught at 53 other universities. We've put over 1,000 teams of the country's best scientists through it. And so I had some experience in coming up with an idea and having it ending up scaling across the country in a way that impacted not just a school or you know, a set of students, but the entire country. And I thought if we could do that for our civilian scientists, then maybe we could do something here for, again, DOD and Intel. You just look at what's going on and the threats we're facing, you realize that the status quo just can't hold.
Sure. And what do you suppose that the DOD people take away from the fact that they can bring a problem, however scrubbed, to a place like Stanford with a bunch of students and come up with a viable answer?
Well, there's a couple benefits. One is obviously they could get some very smart another pairs of eyes on the problem. These aren't obviously a substitute for world-class contractors for external help or internal resources that we have. But again, another pair of eyes. But there were a couple of larger goals for the class. One is for inside the DOD to help develop a common language for innovation that has been tested and kind of exists out here that helps them work at speed. Two is exposes them to the results of working at speed and allows them to compare it to how they're working and building things. Two is, educates a large percentage of our research university into problem sets that the Department of Defense and Intel community have. As I said, I think bridging this disconnect between, the civilian world and our military is one of our goals here.
And how does it work in actuality? Does the DOD drop off a problem and check back 12 weeks later, or is there daily interaction?
That's a great question. Actually, we've set up a clearinghouse. Pete and I and Joe basically beat the bushes in the DOD, or at least we did for the first set of problems. Now we have problems.
Now they're beating your door
down. And we act as a clearinghouse. For those problems, and the clearinghouse means, number one is does the sponsor understand what their role is, and just as you asked, the sponsor doesn't just drop off the problem, because one of the things the students have to do is they have to talk to 10 to 15 stakeholders a week, that is users, warfighters, concept developers, program managers, etc., and the sponsor is kind of the gatekeeper. You can imagine that might be difficult but not impossible at JIDA. Well, let me just point out that one of the problem sets are from the NSA, and they don't have a long history of talking to too many people, but yet they have been incredibly responsive. In fact, the agency is actually on the cutting edge of being innovative at speed. You'd be really proud of, your listeners would be really proud of what they're doing, but the other agencies in the DOD as well, JIDA, SOCOM, and I go down the list, of actually bringing us problems, us working with them on how to scrub those problems to an unclassified level, teaching their sponsors what their role is going to be during the 10 weeks of the class. We were, as I said earlier, kind of, that was one of the hypotheses we had, but we're unsure would be true, is whether A, we could get enough problem sets, and B, whether the sponsors can ever actually provide unclassified access at scale. Because one of the things the students do is, as I said earlier, the goal isn't to build another set of demos for the DOD. There's more technology demos than, there's probably one every 12 and a half seconds.
Sure.
The real question was, could the students deeply understand the problems that the sponsor had never been exposed to the DOD, build an iterative set of solutions and actually understand by the end of the class how to get this solution acquired and deployed, not just demo it. Anyway, I could demo something. It's, you know, what's the acquisition process within our lifetime? You know, how do you deploy something at scale? What does that look like? You know, how would you get the money for this? Who cares about this? And there was a lot of skepticism of whether you could take students from zero to, you know, being knowledgeable and making a dent in a reasonable period of time.
We're speaking with Steve Blank, consulting associate professor at Stanford University. And what about the DIUX effort that is going on, the satellite station that the Pentagon has landed in Silicon Valley? How does this relate to that, or does
it? You know, that's a great question, because when we originally built the class, we obviously were aware of them. DIUX is essentially the DoD's innovation outpost in Silicon Valley, and now, as was just announced, in Boston area, and I'm sure there will be more outposts in other areas of innovation throughout the country. As the class proceeded, they ended up adopting us and providing an enormous amount of support in terms of access, expertise, liaisons, etc. And I think they learned a lot from being part of our class. But boy, we and our students certainly learned a lot by having them support an amazing help.
Do you think the cultural bridge, or is there a cultural divide between DOD and the Silicon Valley Gestalt?
Oh, of course. I mean, there's a cultural bridge on multiple levels. You know, one is just, as I said, when we ended the draft 40 years ago, you know, at least if you were going to a research university, the odds of you wanting to join the military or intel community after you got your degree was, you know, not zero, but pretty close to zero. And so that wasn't just a Silicon Valley problem. It was a general problem I wanted to solve. And so there was almost no knowledge of how the DOD and combatant commands operated and what they were doing for the country and the issues they faced. I think post-Snowden, there's a whole other set of cultural issues that about security of data and safety. And again, I just think we do it on the intel side. We do the world's worst possible job of communicating what the agency's goal is in communicating its role in keeping Americans safe. I thought there was an enormous gulf. But it turns out, as I said, there's just this huge latent demand for understanding and helping. So I think even on a deeper level, in spite of all that, I had more students sign up for this class than I've had for anything else I've taught. And I have a pretty popular class at Stanford.
So what's your goal now next? Do you plan to make this some sort of a regular ongoing program? And do you expect the Pentagon to keep bringing it over and the various DOD agencies?
Yeah, this was a science experiment. So this was our prototype. And, you know, we thought if it didn't work, it would slowly fade into oblivion and, you know, no one would know about it. And I'm saying this smiling because by class four, we already had universities signed up to kind of teach this in the fall without us ever even announcing that we're going to scale it. We have told people we're going to scale the class now. We already have five other universities signed up, and it looks like we'll get funding from hopefully NDU and maybe other parts of the DOD to make this a permanent program. As I said, I want this to scale it the same way my other class for the National Science Foundation scaled, and that is at 53 other universities. You can imagine solving, you know, not just 10 problems a year, but 1,000 problems a year, and more importantly, exposing thousands of kind of our best and the brightest to maybe a different career, and, or at least understanding the role of the DOD and intel community. And until we have some formal form of national service, you know, this will be one part of